ad I saw the other day, and it was like, is this like kind of rifle good for squirrels? And someone's like, nah, it would never fit in a nest. And I was like,
yeah, it doesn't fit in a nest, and their small hands can't reach the triggers too far forward. You should get, most of the squirrels in my neighborhood carry a small concealable handgun like a Glock 26 or 27.
Which, in honesty, is probably a better choice for a squirrel. I mean, they can hide it in their cheeks.
Yeah, I would actually probably go for a 42 or a 43. The 26 27s are the kind of a wide grip. The 26 27s are the ones that have the really narrow grip. It's like a single stack.
Oh, is that they're like meant for that?
Yeah,
like
kind of, yeah. In your well, yeah. Have you seen the one that I got my mom?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess we can still name names, right? We can name names.
We've never not done that.
Oh yeah, Sydney. Did you see the one I got her? Or the one she got. Technically, she bought.
Yeah, or no, but she didn't. She get it because your mom. Like
yes,
it?
Yes. But it's the Glock 26 has the wider grip, so it's like a stubby. It's almost the same width as a normal Glock handle.
Mm-hmm.
It's just short. Whereas the 26 or the 42 and 43 have a really narrow grip that for me almost feels like a delicate toy I'm gonna break.
You're like, do.
Wait. Eyeball, give us money.
Love it.
And pressurize your cans a teensy bit less, please.
Yeah, like, I mean, I understand it needs to be carbonated for whatever reason that you do that.
By the way, it's a Sitsock.
Yeah, well, yeah.
In case you came across his audio file somewhere on the interbuds.
After we get murder, death killed by...
Murder raped? Is that what you know with that one?
Our fans. No. Murder, death, kill is from the Demolition Man.
Yeah, I know that one. You were just hesitating on the R, and I was like, this is going to turn into something else, isn't it?
You're breaking perfectly shot a whole large amount of... eyeball straight down my throat.
I'm sorry.
It was amazing. I know you didn't do it on purpose, but it was just like
so perfectly timed.
So
this is Kendrick.
This is Kyle. Hi.
I don't think we're gonna talk about clocks the whole time.
No, probably not, because that would be a conversation where Kendrick would just talk about guns for 30 minutes.
And then, I don't think.
And I'd be like, I shoot them from time to time.
Squirrels. Did you plan for anything?
I don't know. No, I never planned for anything.
Okay.
I don't even know what planning
is. Can you stop playing Shop Here long enough to look at the list, see if I put anything on there? Because
yeah,
I do put stuff on there when I'm doing stuff.
I just assume that, you know... You
when, when, especially last time when we called me out, then I definitely started doing it out of spite. There might be some cusses on there. A couple of cuss words.
We still have space politics versus U.S. politics. Presidential D&D staff. Oh, we haven't talked about Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. Privacy, it's lost versus the usefulness of it.
Yeah.
We let Google take our stuff, but not the NSA. We could have an in-depth discussion about neckbeards.
We could.
Or breaking laws and getting caught.
We could.
Versus getting caught, I guess.
Or we could talk about Shop Heroes.
We could talk about Shop Heroes. I kind of do want... I don't know if we've talked about this or if you've talked about it already on Digital Beard Stroking, but... Or DBS, for those who are in the know.
I don't like to call it DBS, because that sounds a little bit like irritable bowel syndrome.
I didn't realize that. So Kate was reading one of my articles the other day, and she said that it sounded condescending when I said, if you're not in the know. I guess it maybe was just in the context of the article, because I was kind of being like...
It can sometimes be condescending.
Funnily, like humorously,
it's sort of. I mean, that's the whole point of condescending statements, is they're all contextual, right?
Mm. I guess that's fair. Not in the know. For those of you not in the know, Kendrick has an article called Digital Beard Stroking.
I do have that.
And he writes on it.
It's got all 12 articles on it.
Mm-hmm. So, what the fuck was we talking about? Okay. So, it does kind of bring up an interesting thing about, like, phone games and what keeps us playing them. Because over the last year that we've been working together, I've gone through a decent amount of new games and old games and games that have stuck on my phone and games that haven't stuck on my phone and... Clash Royale and Clans and stuff. Almost. October 22nd.
There's a dead guy in the back of my car. Don't mind that.
Oh, yeah. It is sliding. It's just the corpse.
Yep.
Carry on.
You were talking.
I know. I meant our listeners.
Okay. Yeah,
like, just carry on. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
The, like, so it's interesting to see if for the people who actually play phone games... And I know some people don't. I know my mom plays, like, the older ones. Like,
the older ones. Candy Crush.
Candy Crush. She likes Candy Crush. There's, like, 15 different Candy Crushes now.
My mom plays Candy Crush.
And she plays Words with Friends and things like that on her iPad, but she doesn't really get into like the nitty gritty. Is what I'm gonna call it. The like microtransaction. Yeah, the heroines. The games where you can pay to play, but you don't have to. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad, etc.
The ones that hopefully steer clear of the pay to win.
Yeah.
Death knell.
So the first, I guess, subset of games would be way like the
way to go.
The fucking Supercell suite, I guess. Yeah. Or the Supercell-like games, right?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't say that Boom Beach and Clash of Clans are like exactly the same.
No,
they have some. They have enough similarities.
They use the same. The same. What would you say?
Like it's like a base building game.
Yeah, right? I mean they're very much. I don't think it's unfair to say those are very similar games.
Well, in the sense of like what the stuff we're going to talk about is going to be is like you have like Clash of Clans, Boom Beach, that Warhammer 40K. Drop Hot Assault, is it? What is it called?
No one even.
We all have a Star Wars one called Star Wars Commandos. That's the same way. I mean, this is a very common theme in amongst phone games. Is this like you build your base up and then you people attack your base and you attack other people's bases and that's kind of the whole thing. And then you like build it better and da 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 da. And like your base starts to look cooler as you go. And that's kind of that carrot stick right mentality. There is like. You're like, oh man, I really think I want to see what this next level of this cannon looks like, or
yep.
I want to see what the next like additional troop I can get is, and things like that. So that's what keeps you playing. But yeah, so those are the games that I started with, and now all of those are completely off my phone.
I think.
Any comments on the base builders? Anything you want to mention about why they're like kind of addicting? Or
well, I did go into this a little bit in an article 2 weeks ago, so like 8 weeks ago from when this thing comes out. I mean, 27. Weeks ago.
No, that's we've missed so many that this is actually probably coming out next week.
It's probably live right now, right? We're streaming this.
That would be interesting if one day to do that.
We could.
Because it does come out. They says, oh yeah, you're a genius. Anyone ever told you you're a genius?
No.
Okay.
I got business cards made that said that once, though.
And that say I'm a genius?
Yeah.
Isn't that from like...
Bottom from Kanye. I just changed a couple of letters.
Because he couldn't spell genius right.
No, from Kanye to Kendrick, it's not that hard.
Oh.
We have a lot of similar
There's
letters.
A lot of ways you could have gone with that joke.
Yep. Anyway, that kind of payoff and reward for behavior kind of thing, like what actually stimulates your interest in playing and pursuing things, and building the base because you see cool bases and you know your ass kicked by cool bases. So there's like a social aspect to there, and then there's you're always being every time you have a building or a unit, you've always got their upgrade right there. Like look at their upgrade, look at these numbers.
Yeah, they never show you the current, they always show you the next, right?
Yeah, well, and they might show you the current, but they're always like wagging the next in front of you, and you're always like, oh, look at that, oh, you can look at he gets a hat next time, oh. Like, oh, that's
you're like, cool. Oh man, all my spearmen need hats.
Right.
How are they going to protect themselves from the sun? Or other spearmen?
Or look how cool those giants look at that level 5. Get a big old beard, they look all cool.
I will say, I'm kind of a sucker for a game that changes stuff up every so often. I don't think Clash does it enough. Like they didn't really do it for their troops.
They do now.
They do?
They do more. Well, all the troops have at least 3 visual changes. Mm-hmm. But you have to get them way high to get the last.
Yeah.
Like archers. Have a hat and then don't have a hat and then have armor. I forget all the details. Well, the giants eventually get a big beard and this huge sweet cloak thing.
What?
Yeah. High-level giants in Clash of Clans are awesome looking.
Interesting.
Yeah, they grow a big old beard and they have this big, like, almost like Black Watch looking, or Night's Watch looking cloak thing. It's badass. Hmm. But, so, yeah, you got to get them all the way the fuck up there.
That's one type. I mean, the thing about these games that's probably going to all be in common is with any cell phone game that's not, like, a full... We're not talking about, like, oh, man, they ported Final Fantasy VII to the phone. It's, like, these are, like, what is, I think, colloquially now known as, like, phone games.
Yeah, mobile games.
Okay, mobile games. Where you have things that you do, and they have a certain time limit associated with them, and you may have some energy that's associated with you, and you can only do a set amount of things per time... And all those things take time.
Yep.
And da da da. So you get on your phone once or twice or 3 or 4 or 1,000 times a day and do the things based on how long the things take.
Right.
The next kind of subset I think is there's a few games like this where you collect something and you make that character or that, like, monster or that thing better by collecting gems of that type. And there's gear associated with them, so the gear helps them be better, too. And it's, like, it's very, very character-centric games where, like, they, Star Wars has one where, like, you have a, you can build teams of Star Wars people. I play that one still, Galaxy of Heroes. There's the one Summoner Wars Adam was playing for a long time. There's a few of them, anyway. The whole idea is that you do things in the game to collect the shards for the hero, then the hero gets better, and then they become more strong, and then you compete with other people online, et cetera, right? So the whole idea there is very similar. You're still competing online, but instead of building a base, you're collecting shit to build up a character, and like they'll always have like crazy special events where you can get special shards or extra level up energy or all this other shit. And I think they're the next level of game at they're like the Supercell ones or the base building ones, because there's just like a thousand things you need to keep track of. And
what's your hierarchy here you're building? Is this in terms of addictiveness?
No, not necessarily.
In this instance,
it's shit you have to do to shit you have to keep track of to make sure you know how to like play the game. Like the Supercell ones are very good at being like, simple. Here's the four things you need to know. Like,
oh, yeah.
Here's
so,
energy. Here's like power, etc.
Here's like you got gold and you got spell juice.
Yeah, and
bottled farts.
In a lot of these other ones, it's like you have the shards to make the hero a higher rank. You have gear. You have like modifications. You have special level up, like items you need to get from a certain challenge map. You have like different sub items that'll let you. You can
don't
use
look directly
to,
at me. Don't look directly at me.
I was looking like through.
Don't look directly at me.
Like, is this looking directly at you?
No, that's exactly.
What if I look at your forehead?
That's looking directly at me.
What if I look past your forehead?
Balls or below.
I'm not going to follow that rule. But so, basically, I don't know if it's necessarily more complicated. It's just more, it's more, what was that? Gaming.
Less simple?
Less simple, yeah. It's more, yeah. Less simple is a good one. There's just a lot of stuff to keep track of, and you're like, have to make sure you log in every day to get your daily login shit. That's the daily login thing is usually a big part of these games is come back and play today. Or, like, make sure you log into our game today and we'll give you free shit.
I think I like how that manifests in a lot of places. Wow, there's just a bunch of people like, fuck this red light. I just do what I want.
It's Friday, bitch. You think you like how that manifests?
No, I think it's dumb.
No. You think it's dumb?
I think people are dumb.
Yes, okay, that's fine. Well, that's kind of like what all of our podcasts are about.
PeopleDumb.com. Don't go there. I haven't gone there.
We haven't tested that. It's not safe for... Whoa, I've never seen a giant amalgamation of construction workers like that before.
It's a gathering.
Shit. They've gotten smart.
Shit.
They're staging an uprising.
Yeah, well, that's what they do when you build a building. You rise it up. Hi-yo!
And we're out.
I'll just leave.
No.
So
I don't know how to drive your car.
It's simple. It's a standard. Anywho.
You like how that manifests itself, is what you said, and then you got distracted by shiny.
By all kinds of things, dude. There's a whole bunch of shit going on, all right? All right? I'm just a mortal man. Well, I'm a man, anyway. In a lot of the games, that particular trope manifests as, don't miss today's thing, or you're fucked, dickhead. Notice that? Like,
they do advertise a lot of stuff. Like, they have, like, a lot of those ones have, like, news boards that are more active than the base building games. Base building games, news boards are like, hey, there's, like, an update coming out.
No, I just mean, like, in Drop Assault and in...
Oh.
Actually, in Drop Assault and Shop Heroes in particular, there's this element of, if you don't get this every day, your counter restarts and you don't get the good thing.
Yep, no, that's exactly what it is. And so it's like, they have like monthly login rewards in some of them, which are like, if you don't get login every day, you won't get up to the like, the last five prizes, right? And like the last five are like way better than the rest of them.
Yeah.
And they have that in the new Final Fantasy ones and all that stuff. And I think, I don't know if there's too many more that I've played of these, like, types of phone games, but one of the ones I did think was interesting was, fucking A, you just said something that reminded me of
Shop Heroes?
No, it was,
Drop Assault?
No, that's dumb.
Boom Beach?
No, it wasn't one of those that, I don't think you played it. Anyway, I'll try and think of it. So you were talking about, login rewards, da 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 da, and how.
Well, I was thinking, if we're just rolling around the concept of mobile games.
Yeah.
Like, these are the long built, the long running, strategic, build stuff up, you know, train your dudes, improve your dudes, get a lot of dudes, that kind of, that whole kind of game, which is sort of a direct opposition from the historical phone games that you're like Candy Crush, where it's like, get more levels, do more stuff, or some of the like
Maze Runner
games.
Yeah, Maze Runner.
There's that one, it wasn't Maze Runner, but it was something like that.
Temple Run.
Yeah, Temple Run. Yeah, okay. And those kinds of games, there's like 100 of those.
Yeah, right? And like, I agree. So that is an
interesting thing. And those are nice because you pick them up, you play them for 8 seconds or whatever, and then you put it down, and you're like, that was a good time.
Yeah, and like, the argument could be made is you could do that with these games, but you can't like put them, the putting them down part is
well,
very difficult.
Well, the trick to those is, you don't have to have a plan or thoughts or expectation or anything. Yeah. Whereas a lot of like Boom Beach and Clash of Clans and Shop Heroes, you have to kind of have a plan. You can't just do stuff. You got to be like, wait a minute, is this working towards my grand goal of building this base or of finding a way to make my base look like a dick or you know whatever? Like, if you don't have some kind of a goal in mind, you often waste time. But with like Temple Run, you just open it up and go to town on it, and then you're done.
Yeah, and the same one with like the Futurama Game of Drones game and Candy Crush are all the same. Like, they very, very much want you to buy stuff, and it makes it exponentially easier, right?
Yeah.
To, like, to get through these puzzle parts if you just, like, spend a little bit of money here, right?
Just give us 8 cents.
Yeah, and, like, 1,000 times.
Yeah. And that adds up bad. I don't like how that multiplies out.
And so, like, those games, I played Game of Drones for a little bit, the Futurama one, and it was funny because, like, it's all the Futurama jokes and stuff. And
I haven't seen that one.
It's fun. I mean, it's fun for a while, but I was in the same boat as Kevin Sears, one of our buddies, who's like, yeah, I played it, and then I got, like, over it, you know? And, like, yeah. I was just like, I just want to watch Futurama now. Like, it did nothing but made me, like, kind of frustrated with how bad the puzzle games were, like, that kind of puzzly aspect was. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to play. I just want to watch Futurama. Then I think there's like little diamonds in the rough every once in a while. Ones that still use some of these mechanics but have really, really good games attached to them. Like,
well,
like the Kingdom Hearts one that Emily was playing for a while.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. Like, it doesn't let you do any of that auto stuff. So a lot of the games in the second category, like not the Supercell base building side of the games, but the like character based like collect shards and shit games, let you do this like auto play thing. So once you've gotten, like, a high enough rank on a mission, you can use, like, tickets to, like, not have to do the mission. Not actually have to, like, make the choices anymore, right? So what you start doing is, like, instead of actually, like, going through the battles, you start, like, having this routine that I do every day in Star Wars when I wake up. It takes me, like, 15 minutes where I'm, like, go in, auto through a bunch of shit that I've already done so I can get the pieces I need to keep getting, like, new characters and stuff. And then, like, I'm done. And I don't have to keep doing, like, the stuff in the game where I actually have to fight people unless I want to. And then I can, like, have most of the daily achievements done, da 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 da. But they have like auto tickets, and it's an interesting new concept where you're like, play the game long enough to not have to play the game anymore, and then keep playing the game in a different way where you're playing the game but not playing the game the way you started.
I have not yet played a game like that, and it confuses
I think
me
it would piss you off personally if you got to that point. I think you would see it and stop playing it. You'd be like, this is dumb. Like, I don't know why I can continue to play this game.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, just because I think that, like, if I overthought it too much, I would get frustrated. I'm like, that's stupid. Why am I doing this? Like,
right.
You know, it's like, if you play Animal... Have you ever played Animal Crossing?
I haven't.
Okay. If you play Animal Crossing, you might understand what I'm saying, which is, like, you... At one point while you're playing Animal Crossing, you'll sit there and realize that anything you're doing in Animal Crossing is even more mundane than the things you're doing in your real life. Where you're like, I'm catching bugs and fishing and, like, digging up fossils. And you're like, wait a second. Like, I'm spending, like... In-game, it's like Second Life. You're like spending in-game time to do stuff that you could easily do in real life, and then getting paid fake money for it. And you're like, wait a minute.
I could go catch real fish.
I could go catch real bugs. Like,
then I gotta go outside.
Yeah, but it's just it's one of those things that it'll hit you. It's one of those like turning points in like when you're playing video games.
Right.
Some people hit that point and they're like, they start to feel bad about themselves, or they start to like, man, I spent too long gaming, or stuff like that, or they're like, man, this is really stupid. Like, this game has lost all interest for me because I just realized this one part about what I'm doing. I usually am too stupid to hit that point or to make that decision. I'm like,
you're not
catching
stupid.
Bugs.
You're advanced.
I'm catching bugs. But this one's gold. There's no such thing as gold bugs in real life.
Well, I feel like I should make a joke about some kind of racial joke here just to fill in the time.
Gold bugs?
The Jews.
Oh, wow. That was kind of actually...
Yeah.
Really bad and accurate. Yep.
Yeah, because gold bugs, but also gold bergs, because there's the Jews.
Wow, right? I was thinking more like the little bags of gold on there.
Yeah, and that they all have gold, you know. Because it's, you know, it's
well, you know, we can't get through one episode of Sith Talk without something racist and saying fuck, so.
Good. I think we already said it earlier, but it's good to get that out of the way.
Get it out early, right?
Whip it out early.
So.
Fix that for Harambe. Just date ourselves there.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you guys are interested in phone games, that's cool. Like, so, we always kind of make it, so.
We rattle around here. Do you want to talk a little bit about Shop Heroes in particular?
Yeah, sure, like actually, yeah.
Shop Heroes has held my attention by the balls.
And like, so, I do want to say, most of these other games we've talked about, besides the base building games, have this idea of energy that I mentioned earlier, which is, I have 100 energy to spend doing things today. And it regenerates at like 1 energy per minute or something like that, right? And the energy there is like a determining factor in how much shit you can do before you have to put the phone down, right?
Yeah.
And that was something that I mentioned. I mentioned in a second, but you put the phone down when you're done with energy because you don't have anything left to do.
Yeah. Right? And in games like Clash of Clans, it's like, okay, well, you've spent your money. You only have X builders. They're all building something that takes 12 hours to build. Okay. Your troops are still being trained. That takes 12 hours. Okay. I guess I could rearrange my base. Okay, my base looks how I like it. Now it's 11 hours and 58 minutes left on those things.
Shop Heroes is a special, special kind of heroin.
Yeah.
Because it's like the heroin that's mixed with, like, you know, cocaine and a little bit of ecstasy.
It's straight up black tar. It's bad. It's bad news.
Because, I don't know, you could tell your first two stories about playing it too, but when Amy and I started playing it, we sat in bed on Sunday for like 4 hours and just were like shop heroing. And it was like, just you couldn't stop the things that are happening. Like, people kept coming into your shop, and blah, blah, blah. We can talk about the game itself before I get into that, so.
Well, I first found, I was the one who introduced it to the group. So.
Wow, you fucking want some, like, cookies or something?
No, and I found it because I was at a party, and we were talking about phone games, and one of the guys there was like, oh, I only play this one anymore because I can't pay attention to them all the time. I want something I can pick up. Well, like a CNC machine is running, and then play it a little bit, and then put it down again, and then go back to the CNC machine. I'm like, okay, that sounds perfect. That sounds like the game I need to have, right? One that doesn't demand all my time, but one that doesn't make me wait a whole bunch. Cool. Yeah. Fucking lied to me, basically. Or maybe when you get to the super high levels, right? Yeah. So when you get to super high levels, that's the case. But at the beginning, it just eats your soul. For the first couple weeks when I had it, I didn't sleep enough. Even now, I have to, like, intentionally say I'm done now, even when there's more stuff to do. I have to put the phone down.
Yeah, setting those little small benchmarks is something I had to start doing too. Where it's like, all right, I need to get this started, and then I put it down. Yeah.
Regardless of whatever else I come up with, or whoever walks in that door, because you never know who's going to walk in that door.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
It's probably a fucking dickhead. So. Do you want to talk about the mechanics at all?
So,
I just wanted to share that. I didn't mean to be the pusher here. I thought I was going to share a nice one. We could, like, play a little bit. And it ended up being one that took over our lives.
But I think Kendrick's point about, like, at higher levels, you get, like, slower. It's true. But anyway, the way the game works is you are a shop owner in, like, a fantasy medieval kind of style.
You're an NPC.
Yeah, you're an NPC. You're a shop owner. You're someone selling heroes shit. And they come into your store and they demand things. They're like, I want a bow. And you're like, okay, I have that. Here, will you buy this from me? And then you can, like, upsell them, or it's called a whatever. You can upsell them, or you can discount it, or you can compliment them to try to get them to spend more money.
No, but the trick is your inventory. You have to manage your inventory. Mm-hmm. It's not like you just have a big pile of them. You have to make things. Mm-hmm. And you only know how to make so many things. So you're learning, like, you start off with making a shitty little knife and a bullshit spear, right? And then from there, once you learn more, you learn how to make a better spear and a better knife. And then you learn how to make a sword.
But
you learn how to make a helmet.
All while that's happening, each other weapon you already had to make to get to the next level is, like, still counting. Yeah. It's like there's another bar and it's like 0 to 6, and you're like, and it's got a little icon next to it. Like, we're going to reduce the cost, or it's going to unlock something else when you do build 6 more of that regular knife that's shitty still. But
now you can make a good knife. Like, oh. And then your regular knife now, if you keep making that one, now your regular knife sells for more. It's just more valuable because you're just better at it. And it's like, oh. And then all of a sudden, it's tomorrow and you go to work today because you're playing.
That's only the half of the thing that you're managing your actual shop, or maybe a third of it.
Yeah.
There's the other third that's the city, and I don't know that's that important to me yet.
But it's not important to you because I did it already.
Yeah, so, like, normally you'd have to go in and upgrade your city and do all this crazy stuff, and upgrading your city gives you, like, better, like, times to get, like, the ore you need to build weapons.
Well, upgrading your city does all kinds of stuff. It gives you more heroes. It gives you more of the people who you have, your workers. It expands those. It changes the resources you can get because you start off with just wood and stone. Mm-hmm. A little iron, I guess. And then you have to build out the leather worker and the steelworks and the oil manufacturers and all that shit. But one of the fun things about this, and actually this is an interesting from that competition versus cooperation, the main social aspect here is non-competitive. It's fully cooperative. So we don't just make the kind of loose task force or clan or whatever that that those other games have, where you, like, are sort of in a group of people. You're literally in the same city.
Yeah, so anything that we do helps everyone else in the group and things like that, which is a really cool aspect.
Yeah, so what that means is, since I've been playing longer than everybody, my city's way the fuck upgraded. So everyone who joined my city barely even has to worry about it. They just get a whole bunch of sweet bonuses.
Yeah, if you've ever played MMOs or any other kind of group game, it's, like, basically having, like, guild perks that, like, allow you to, like, allow people in your guild to level up faster or catch up to you and things like that, which is a really cool way to do it, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
But the other third of the game is the questing and the battling your heroes. So, like, you basically have this set of heroes you keep getting more and more of that, like, apparently they're only the heroes in the universe, or
you're also the mayor.
And you send them out, so very much like the board game Lords of Waterdeep, you accrue adventurers and send them out to do stuff for you, and they, for some reason, want to give you money and items from their quests.
Like when you
even
return,
though they buy items from you.
Right, already. Like when you return from in D&D, when you return from a quest and you bring back the thing you found to the mayor.
Yeah.
Who rewards you? A pat on the head and a
hearty
handshake.
But in this case, they give you money, which I think is funny.
Yeah.
Because they're like, wow, man, like, you're right. That was a really fruitful adventure. Here's some cash and some items.
Well, because you're sending them out to... I mean, I still think it's like a D&D thing where, you know, you've got, like... Or Fallout.
In no D&D campaign have I ever given the quest give takers money back after I've...
No, but you've given them the thing.
Sure, yeah.
And then I think the concept is maybe these guys are just not dickheads playing D&D, and they're like, oh, we found this extra cash.
They're neutral. They're not good.
I was like, we found this extra cash, more than what we need. You want it? It's like, yeah.
And so you have that, and then you have, like, the battle aspect, which I still haven't gotten into yet, because I can't, it's so fucking off, like, balance that
you
can't.
I can tell you that at first it is, and then all of a sudden you go back in there and you'll just wreck people.
Yeah, I can imagine, because right now I have, like, a 1,200 guy.
I went in there and I wrecked a bunch of people, and then I worked my rank up to where now I get wrecked, and then I'm going to go in, and I'll come back in a couple weeks, and I'll wreck people again, and you get a bunch of pouches.
So those three aspects of the game keep you playing a lot, because once you... finished a certain area, you're like, oh, well, I can't do anything in the town, I'm gonna go quest, and you set up the quest
and go get you cycle
guys
around.
And, like, do stuff, and you're like, oh, wait,
and
there's
then
something
all of a
done
it's 3 a.m.
yeah,
it's so amazing at that.
It's a cool game, and you just have to make sure that you set, like, aside, like, 2 days to get up to the place where you can, like, put it down.
Yeah,
so, like, when you, like, start building things that take 3 hours or quests that take longer than 8 minutes and things like that, so you can set it up so you're like, quest for an hour, build something that costs 30 minutes, and you're like, oh, I'm out of stuff to do, put it down, and then
put it down,
don't pick it up again in an hour.
Don't touch it.
Make sure you pick it up again in 4 hours or something. But it's a good game.
It is fun. I think it's a very nice... well, the other thing that's actually really interesting about it is it's probably one of the few games I've seen of this type that's surprisingly non-violent.
Meaning, like, you're not competing.
Well, you're not bashing the shit out of other people's cities. You're not bashing...
You're trying to say that you like cooperative games?
I'm just trying to say that it's nice to see that not every game has to have violence at its core. There is violence at its core, I suppose, because you are sending these guys off on quests. But you don't know what the fuck the quests are.
I guess I never really thought you cared about that.
Well, it's not necessarily that I don't. It's not... I guess... It's not that it permanently influences things or I won't play games because they're violent. It's just nice to see a game that isn't violent. You know what I mean? It's not like a huge world-changing thing. It's just kind of fun to see. It's purely cooperative between players. There's no competition. There's that arena, but that's so... You don't even control your dudes.
Yeah, it's very...
It's such a small part of the game.
That's how, like... a lot of other games do it that way, where, like, you pick your heroes you want to do that with, and they just kind of, like, oh, well, this is it. They're playing themselves, so...
Well, and I think it's just kind of pleasant to see a game where you can... I mean, it's a very... Well, here's the part about it is I don't think there's anybody who this game wouldn't appeal to, necessarily, right? Like, some people I know, they don't like Boom Beach. You know, they don't like the setting, or they don't like the violence, or they don't like, they just don't like that part of the game. But I don't think anyone would dislike.
Someone's actually told you they don't like the game because of violence?
I don't know if it's necessarily the violence so much as the type of tactical necessity of it.
Hmm. Where, like, you're hiring people to kill, to, like, send them in the
death. Well, and then, like, you have to make sure when you're attacking the beaches, you want to go for this way or that way. You want to line these troops up. And there's a lot of variables to keep track of. And here there are variables to keep track of, but you're never under the gun. Figuratively or literally. You're running a little shop. And I don't know about anybody else, but when I was a kid, one of my pretend times was running a shop. That, for some reason, was a fun little thing for me when I was, you know,
really?
6, 8, something like that.
We just learned a lot about you.
Yeah. So, for me, it's kind of like going back to a childhood fantasy that I never wanted to actually go do in real life, because running a shop in reality is awful.
And it was funny to me, because it was something like, the idea of becoming an NPC after being a player for so long is something that comes up in D&D campaigns a lot, where, like, what do you do after you're, like, level 50? Or, like, what do you do at the end? Do you just become a shopkeeper? Do you try to manage, like, a political campaign? And it was funny to me, because there's this game called Star Wars Galaxies or Star Wars something. And that was one of the things you could do. And then Guild Wars 2, you could do it, too, where you just are a crafter. You craft, right? You're max level from crafting. You are good at it. You have all the stuff that it took time to get you good at it, so you can, like, make really good items that other people can't make. And that was always something that I think games didn't delve into enough, was they're always talking about battling and raiding and things like that, but there's a whole aspect there. And I like that. I kind of think it's funny that those characters became NPCs when in reality they could have been equally played characters.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, but we've just, our general gaming tactics just go in a direction where we don't want to play the characters who sell stuff. But those characters could have interesting stories and stuff too. Like,
yeah,
if they have some really interesting mechanics in Final Fantasy 14 for how you craft and the things you have to do during crafting. And it's a whole sweet subset, because the whole idea with Final Fantasy is there's jobs, right?
Uh-huh.
And in that game, you actually equipped stuff to become a crafter.
Okay.
So, like, your weapon determined your job. So you'd equip, like, a tool, and now you're a jewel crafter. And you have a set of moves on the bottom of your bar. And, like, the moves you do kind of, like, make these things go around where you're, like, you can increase the quality, or, like, you can increase the craftedness.
Interesting.
So, like, when you're like, okay, I need to increase the quality, but that decreases, like, how many points I have towards it being actually crafted already. So I need to balance all these things back and forth.
Interesting.
And it made, oh my god, it made crafting in that and Guild Wars so much more interesting. And I would sit there, and it made me happy, because gathering.
Guild Wars or Final Fantasy?
Huh?
Guild Wars or Final Fantasy?
Yes. Both of them had the same type of thing.
Okay.
Where, you had very interesting mechanics for crafting. But anyway, I guess maybe it's a different conversation for after work.
We'll have to, Kendrick, fix that. Hopefully you're still paying attention.
Fix what?
Put that on the list.
Oh, I'll do it. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Hi, everybody. This is Kendrick and Kyle.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Kendrick and Kyle.
Okay. That's cool.
This is Sitsock.
Bye.